Blog Talk Radio.
Ephesians 3.
For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Welcome. This is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Today is Saturday, the 14th of July, 2018. We pray all is well. We pray all is well in your family and you. We're going to open up with prayer real quick. And today we're going to be talking about a culture of evangelism with Elder Mark Gaines from New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. And we're going to discuss a little bit today about evangelism, the importance of the church doing the work of an evangelist, going out, sharing the gospel with the lost, the unsaved, the unbeliever, and being able to minister to them. Amen. Father, today we say thank you, God. We thank you for this opportunity, God, to live for you, God. We thank you for this opportunity, O God, to be able to serve you, glorify you, God, to be able to speak into the lives of men, O God, husbands, fathers, and sons, to encourage them, O God. Father, to speak to the body of Christ as a whole, O God, for those who are listening, God, to encourage them and strengthen them, O God. Father, I thank you for what you've done in my life. I thank you for my brother, Lord God. We thank you, God, that you have continued, God, to use us, that you saw fit, oh God, to use us for your purpose and will, oh God, because you knew in the foundation of the world who we were for this time, for this season, God, for this dispensation, Lord God, that we would be used by you, God, to reach those who are lost, God, those who are not knowing you, those who are destined for eternal punishment and standing in your wrath, but yet your son, Jesus Christ, has come that they might be set free from sin. Father, continue to strengthen us and keep us. Today, you're protecting around our lives, about our families, our wives, and our children, oh God, and give us peace today, oh God, as we walk out your will and purpose for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Amen, amen. Amen. Well, again, we thank you for joining us this morning on Issues Christian Men's Talk. Elder Mark, how are you, sir? How are you feeling this morning?
I am blessed, sir, blessed and highly favored, and yourself.
Amen. I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Again, I thank you for taking Saturday morning and being part of the program with us tonight and helping just share and encourage the brothers out there. Because we know this season, in the summer season, it's nice and warm outside and we do a lot of evangelism. But yet, I want to encourage those churches, not even the church. Remember, the church is the people. We are the church, not the buildings we meet in, gather, but we are the church. So today we want to just encourage the brothers, the men in the church, the men of the church, the men of God, that we have to set a culture of evangelism within our ministries, within our culture. And then one of the things that I'm going to let you speak to this a little bit, Elder, but it's not the work of the elders and deacons and the pastor for evangelism. God has called us all to do evangelism, do the work of evangelism. And then that's what we want to do, is to encourage you, because one of the things I've learned a long time ago, we don't assume everyone knows, and the things that you know, no matter how long you've been saved, someone can hear the gospel, because you gave your life. All you have to do is share your story, your testimony. Why did you give your life to Christ? Why did you believe? Why did you come to the knowledge and understanding the word of God is true, that you would give your life to Christ? And that's as simple as it is. What do you say, sir?
Amen, amen. I agree with you wholeheartedly, and especially that, you know, the misconception is that to be the evangelist, you have to have a title, because you have to know the word of God. You have to, of course, we have to understand the word of God and have a relationship with God, and that's just a part of the Christian walk. But evangelism doesn't mean you can quote every scripture of the Bible. It means that you're willing to share a testimony of your life and what God did for you that may help another person. And sometimes it's just a simple conversation of what you know you couldn't have done by yourself and that God did. And someone out there needs to hear it. And when they hear that testimony, that could be what changes their lives as compared to that of someone who may sit and literally use the term loosely, but beat someone over the head with the Bible. With all they're doing is just scripture, 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 and nothing is given to apply it to life. And in evangelism, if we take the time just to share our life and be transparent about what we've been through and what God has saved us from, another person will be saved. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. And I agree. And that's one of the things we have to, as Christians, you know, as men of God, we have to be able to tell our story. And that, I think some of that we have to deal with, the issues that keep us from that. Could be pride, could be, you know, lack of transparency, or, you know, it's a lot of things. And I'm not going to say that, you know, if you got, you know, you're giving your life to Christ, you come into the knowledge of who Christ is, and you accept the Bible as truth, and you start to live, you live in obedience to God. It's not going to be easy. And like you said, I agree. That's the one thing I encourage everyone who's listening out there. It's not about how many scriptures you can quote. It's not about, you know, can you break down the Bible and the words in the Greek and the Hebrew? It's about what you sharing, what bring you to understand and know that you needed Christ in your life, that you understood that Christ died for your sins, that you understood that you could be different than you were, that your mind is different, your heart is different. And that's the thing we have to really focus on. And all you're doing is sharing. If we look at Paul, you know, Paul wrote a lot of the New Testament books, but all he wrote about was his experience in coming to understand who Christ was. And Christ spoke to him in a dramatic way, as you read in the book of Acts. But and what he did, he went and told others about the Christ, the disciples, Peter, John, James. They all they did was tell what they found out and knew to be true about who Jesus Christ said he was and who he was and what he taught. And that's the same thing we're called to do. We know who Jesus Christ is. We're telling someone who Christ is. We're telling someone what Christ taught, and we tell them what Christ has done in our life once we became obedient to him. And that's where we have to get to evangelism and being able to share that with the world, you know, and those around us. Amen. I want to read a quick scripture here that's going to be our little kickoff, our cornerstone for our discussion today, because it's always about the word. And one thing I also learned, too, talking to my pastor, is if we stay with scripture, especially in evangelism, if we share what scripture says and let the scripture meditate on people's hearts, that's evangelism. We don't argue, we don't debate, we don't try to prove it. We say, this is what scripture teaches. What are you going to do? How are you going to deal with what scripture says? But I want to go right now to 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5, and I'm going to read verse 17 to 21. So that's 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5, for my Bible folk out there. And the word says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as through God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, but ye are reconciled to God. Amen. Verse number 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Amen. So I just wanted to encourage you, because there's a lot there in that scripture. We're going to touch on some of it today to encourage you about evangelism and then being able to nurture in around us. Because, again, as men of God, as husbands and fathers and sons, you know, how are we, it's in us sharing our faith and also discipling and encouraging and mentoring folk around us as men, are we encouraging people to share their faith? Are we encouraging that brother that we are in men's fellowship with? Are we encouraging the men in the church to be able to share their testimony and to evangelize? Are we setting an atmosphere? You know, I think you said it, Elder Mark. You know, it's important that we understand that evangelism is part of it. It's not about a title. I know the church and denominations have used it as a title, but it's not really, it's not a title. To me, it's who we are. As if we call ourselves the church, if we call ourselves followers of Christ, we're going to do the things that Christ did and what his disciples did. What do you say, sir?
I definitely agree. The word that stands out to me is in Romans 8, and it said, conform to the image of his son. That means on our earthly walk, we should do the same thing that Christ did. We should speak of God and his power. We should teach others so that others will be taught. We should share so that others can share. And that's one of my biggest prayers, that as I'm receiving God's blessings, and I know that I'm receiving God's blessings every day, that I would be more than just one that received the blessings and hold on to it, but I truly would be a conduit, which means I'll receive those blessings and push those through to somebody else, that someone else can be blessed as well. Because if I'm the only one being blessed, and when it comes to evangelism, if I'm the only one learning, then the knowledge just stops with me. What good is it if it only saves me, and my call is to be one that will be my brother's keeper? My call is to be one that will share the gospel, is to be one that will live a life that exudes and shows who God is. Even our walk, how we act, how we talk, how we live our lives as Christians, proclaimed as Christians, saved from a life of sin, when we walk a certain way and act a certain way, that is a testament of who we are and who God is in us. That in itself is evangelism. We have to realize that everything about us has to be different than the way of the world, because we've called ourselves and proclaim that we receive salvation. Salvation is a gift, and it's not a gift that you're supposed to hold on just for yourself. Salvation is what you're called to share. Back to you, sir.
Amen. And I think that we have to take it also as individuals, as men of God, as women of God. We have to take it on as a responsibility. You know, God has given us certain things. You know, but all of it, if we look back at what God has done, if we look at Scripture, if we look at the Gospels, we look at the Old Testament, God foretold. If we go all the way back to Genesis, God foretold, there was a foretelling of Christ's coming, that he would reconcile mankind right after Adam and Eve failed and was in sin, in rebellion, in direct disobedience. God had a plan back in Genesis. So some people think it was 6,000 years ago. You know, that number, it depends, but it really doesn't matter. God then already had a plan to reconcile us back to him and talk about the plan and put the plan in place. So we, as people of God, again, it's like I like what you said, bro. If we're confessed Christians, this is what we're called to do. This is what Christ has called us to do. If he is our Lord, if he's our Savior and our Lord, if he's our Lord, we have to do the things he's commanded us to do. we keep his commandments because they're not burdensome. They're not grievousome for us to do what he asks us to do. And evangelism is one of the things. And I you know, it is two sides to for me. You know, we have to remember what God has done for us. And I think if we remember what God has done for us personally and what God has done for all mankind, which is the cross, which is the sacrifice of his son, which is the shed blood for a man who did, for a man who did not do anything, who obeyed God perfectly, but yet was killed, yet was tortured. And if we believe that he paid the price that we couldn't pay for the sins, why can't we tell someone about it? It's as simple as that, you know, and I think that we have to see it as a privilege. We really have to see it as a privilege because God did his part. Now we're willing to do our part. And let me ask you this, bro. Do you find, what are some of the things that you know, because I know we're connected with a lot of folk and we do a lot of things outreaching, and some of the excuses, I want to touch on some of these excuses that folk give. I want to see if you hear the same ones I hear. But we want to help. We want to encourage folk past the excuses, because excuses we have to address these excuses right head on, and be able to tell people that's not a good excuse. That's a good excuse. I mean, if you're scared, you're scared. But the excuses you hear. What do you say, sir? We'll start there. What's some of the excuses you hear why people don't evangelize?
I've heard. It's hard for me to talk about stuff that I don't know, or it's hard for me to talk to people that, you know, people that I don't have a relationship with. And a few people said that, and we were talking, and this was actually at my job, and someone made a comment how it seems that it's so easy for me to talk to people I don't know. And I told them, you know, I gave a comparison. You know, a lot of us do things like, say we go to the movies or we go to a restaurant. Now, in the grocery line, you could start talking just in casual conversation and start talking about a movie. And before you realize it, you have sold someone on going to see that movie. Or you're going to a family member and you're talking about a restaurant you ate at. You have already given so much praise about how good that restaurant was, or the movie that you saw, the barbershop you go to, the car wash, whatever. You told somebody about how great it was and the service and everything. You've basically given that place or that item, whatever, a complete commercial, but yet it's so hard for you to talk to people. That's all you're doing in evangelism. You're telling them about how God did something for you. Once again, you proclaim that God is your Savior. He saved you from a life of sin. He saved you from something that you could not do on your own. You realize that he didn't forget you or he didn't forsake you. But yet it's so hard to talk about God. But on the other side, you can talk about anything you've experienced and sell it to a person you have nothing in common with. How hard is it then to talk about God? It's just an excuse. God didn't ask you to sell him. He said, just mention his name and what he did for you. The seed, and allow God to water it. We can sell every person on any part of life. But then when it comes to God, we have the excuse that, oh, I don't know how to talk to anybody about God, or I'm not good at talking to people. But we do it every day. And I think that's one of the biggest excuses that I've ever heard, is that it's too hard. That's not my personality to talk to people. But yet, you do it every single day. Back to you, sir.
Amen. You know, you're right. And it is. It's talking to a stranger can be hard. I won't give you that. But however, I do know that we have casual conversations all the time. We just need to start in our conversations, insert Christ, insert Jesus, insert God. And let me say this about evangelism. You know, I think we have to have a mindset to do it to where we can flow with what we know. Because I think one of the things is, as we do as men, we know stuff. I know brothers now can tell me Redskin stats, Raven stats, Cowboy stats, their college team, They, all this stuff is in them. So if they start, if they get the conversation about football, sports, whatever, they know stuff. They know the last time the Redskins won a Super Bowl, and they could tell you the whatever. You know what I'm saying? And it's the same thing with the things that we, let me say this, the things that we're interested in and we have passion about, we know about. And I think we just have to get to a mindset, because in the scripture when it talks about that if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature, we have to get to the place where we're renewing our mind about the things of God. Some things we have to get let go out of our head and let Christ come into our head. And that way, we it's there on us. It's on the surface. You know what I'm saying? Because I know you know some brothers, too. We could talk about sports. I could say one thing about any player, anybody out here, and we could have a conversation for the next 30 minutes. And I think that, to me, is an example, for especially for men. We have to get into that place where we can talk about God and Christ and our salvation the same way. And you know, and I think that's important, because when we're talking about it, like you say, talking to strangers, that's an excuse. But we know if we see a brother, if for some of you, I'm not going to say all of it because I, you know me, but if you see a brother with a Redskin shirt on or a Raven shirt on or a jersey, you feel like you can walk up to him, say something to him about it. Especially during the season or if something's in the news, you know what I mean? But that's the same. I think we just have to get our minds and hearts in that same place about Christ, where we can bring Christ in, we can inject Christ into a conversation to break that ice, because it's only things are icebreakers. Because we know we're all strangers at once, but we have things in common in the body of Christ. You know, that's going to be another show. We might touch on that today, but even the folk we worship with every week, we're going to talk about that later. However, we talk about reaching, evangelizing, and reaching a stranger. And I think that you're right. One of the things, we have to just have a different conversation. We have to be able to interject Christ or our testimony or our life. Again, this is our life. This is who we are. If it's who we are, if we are the church, this is something I want to talk about. And what I also share with people that I've learned over the years, we have to stop lifting up our, let me see, how can I say this? Worrying about inviting people to our church or talking about our pastor. Because that necessarily is not evangelism. I'm going to break some people's, I'm going to bust some people's bubbles and upset some folk. But you inviting someone to your church is not evangelism. Let me say that again. This is Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. You know, inviting people to your church is not evangelism. You are the church. We are the church. You have a story, a testimony, and know who Christ is. Share that with a person. What do you say, sir? I'm gonna take a break here because, you know, I don't want to lose listeners. What do you say?
That goes with you earlier about, you know, that the idea that it has to be somebody with a title. People feel that they can't say anything. So if they invite someone to their church, they now take the onus off of themselves to tell who God is. Because when you get to the church, now you're going to hear the word come from the pastor. Now you'll hear the praise team singing the praise songs. You can do those very things yourself, but like I said, it's the I'm scared, or I don't want to feel like, and that's another excuse that we have. I don't want someone to feel, I don't want to say the wrong thing, or I don't want someone to see how weak I am as far as my knowledge of the word. Like, I'm not strong enough in the word to be able to tell somebody about God. So when we just say, oh, well, I'm just going to invite somebody to my church, what that does is say, I just took the onus off of myself in telling somebody or giving somebody the message of salvation. Now they'll get that when they get inside the church doors. But if you just invited them to something, that's the same as inviting them to a party. That's the same as you haven't really done anything that can change their lives. You're dependent upon, oh, well, they're going to come to my church just because I said my church, the word is good, and the pastor is such and such, and we do this. Well, if the person wasn't interested in the party from the get-go, what's the reason you think they're going to walk through the doors of the church now? All they see now is a building. But like you said, Deacon Farr, we have to realize that we are the church. So when we show our lifestyle as that,
that we show that love, we show that compassion, we show gentleness, we show joy, we exude the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And that's just being a Christian. We are evangelizing. We don't have to pass the buck over to somebody else to evangelize. We don't have to understand and know everything. The day that even for a pastor, even for the higher echelons of the church, the higher titles, the day that they say they know everything is the day that they will begin to lose what they have already gained. Because if we ever think that we know everything God has, we begin to think we are just like God, and we never will be. His plan is beyond comprehension, and we only see a minute part. So if you're depending upon somebody else to share it, you got to understand part of the plan is you. Part of God's wish is that you'll share. That's why I came to the realization, and forgive me for rambling, I came to the realization that why I've gone through the things that I've gone through is because it's someone out there that needs to hear my story that will relate to just what I've been through. Whether it's 1,000 people, 1,000,000 people, or just one, God's call on my life is to share what I went through, because someone will relate and they'll see the glory of God in the midst of their test, and then say, I need to find what he found. I need to do what he did, because it changed his life or took him out of that situation that I thought I was the only one in. Back to you, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Carr. We're here with Brother Mark Gaines, Elder Mark Gaines from the New Vision of Life Kingdom Builders. And today we just want to encourage you. We encourage you for setting a culture, setting an environment around you. For those in the body of Christ, you know, today I want to talk to the church. I want to talk to the body, those who are confessed believers, those men who have given their life to Christ, that you are leading in your home as a husband and as a father and a man in the church, that we have to set a culture of evangelism. We have to be able to go and tell the good news of the gospel. Just what God has done for you. That's all we have to do. That's all that Paul, that's all the disciples did. They told what they lived. They were with Christ for 3 years. They were with Christ for 3 years. They heard him. They heard him pray. They was around him. He prayed for them, prayed with them. He taught them. He spoke to them in parables. And then they were called. He called. He told them before he left to go and evangelize and make disciples of all nations, reaching the whole world. So that's what we're called to do. He gave that to all of us. You know, because when we talk about titles and elders, I'm going to go back to that because you mentioned that earlier. When we talk about titles and roles and responsibilities, that's what within the body. That's how God organized his church, that he organized his believers. He gave some pastors and prophets and apostles. This was to organize the church to fulfill the Great Commission, not to sit in buildings and stare at each other and compare how smart we are with each other. I mean, that's one of the things that we talked about at one of our Man Up events, and I always say that, you know, we don't come together to see who's the smartest Christian or the smartest person in the room. We come together that we can go out and minister to the world. Iron sharpening iron doesn't mean I'm not sharpening my sword to cut myself. I'm not sharpening the sword to see how good I can cut my own wrist. I'm going to fight the battle. We are sharpening each other up so we can go into this culture, into the world, and speak the things of God with confidence and with boldness. And that's what we have to be as men. Because, again, we do all other things and secular things. We'll go out and get a job. We'll go out and get a career. We'll go out to get our degree. We'll get a certificate, a CDL with a sticker, CDL with a special. We qualify for jobs. We'll get certificates. We'll get our IT. We'll get our cyber security ticket. We'll do all those things for the reward, for the job, for the next job, for the raise, for the income. But what are we willing to do for the kingdom of God? And this is what evangelism is. And this is what we talk about when we talk about what the church is doing. We're called to make disciples, and a true disciple goes out and evangelizes the lost, the stranger. And when we prepare ourselves, I'm not going to say we're not comparing ourselves, because first of all, we have to submit ourselves unto the Holy Ghost. We have to be able to purge some things out of our life, because again, folk are going to look at our lives Because we can look right now, for example, as we look around the world, evangelism is struggling in America because every time we turn around, we have our pastors getting indicted for this, getting arrested for that, you know, getting arrested and being accused of all kinds of other things. And this is not even in the secular. These are in Christian periodicals and newspapers that this information is coming out. So, again, these are the things that we as individual men, because, again, I tell folk all the time, I don't know about that pastor. He might have did it, but he's only a man. That's why I want to talk to you about Christ Jesus. I want to tell you about who Christ and what the Word of God says, and then you make a decision with that because you can't follow a man because the man, you know, you just can't. That's not what the gospel is about. The gospel is not about being part of, well, let me say it like this. The gospel is not about following a man. You go to a man who's going to teach you to be able to live out the things of Christ and then to live and be obedient to Christ. But when you get to the point where your pastor is a point where you don't even read a scripture, you wait to him. He's spoon-feeding you. The Bible speaks about milk and meat. Sometimes we're going to get milk. We're going to be spoon-fed some things, but then we have to grow to a place where now we can walk on this thing and run, because, again, we know the gospel says we're all going to stand before Christ. We're going to stand before Christ and be judged for the life that we confess to be Christians and what we did and what we've done. Amen. So today, I just wanted to I want to come back to you, Elder. I just wanted to, well, do you have anything you want to add to that?
No, sir. No, sir. I could go into one of my rants, so I think I'm gonna just let you go on and take us into the next subject, Debbie Lee.
Amen. Well, amen. Well, good. Okay, then I'm gonna come to you then. I'll talk about. We have to see again evangelism. Why we don't see it as a privilege, you know? Why we don't see it as an opportunity? Because the scripture that we read, we talked about being ambassadors. Let me go back real quick. Oh, verse number 20. And it says, now that we are ambassadors of Christ, as through God did beseech you by us, we pray in Christ's stead that ye be reconciled back to God. So we're ambassadors. We're ambassadors. So I want to encourage the people out there. I will let you share about the importance of us understanding who we are as ambassadors of Christ in the culture. What do you say, sir?
It's funny that, you know, and this, of course, was our discussion topic that we just kind of reached this morning, you know, before coming on to the show. And last night I had the opportunity to just give a shout out to Elder Ed Glasper, one of the gentlemen that I have an opportunity to pray with at night. We both work at night, so at 1:30 we meet and we pray. And following our prayer, we have a short discussion. And we were talking about that with young men nowadays, and we were talking about how things that were taboo have kind of changed. And think so many for the men, and ladies, I don't mean to cut you out or leave you out of this thing, but we want to just really target the men today, and especially for the young men, they look at it like it's a burden to say that you're different than the world now. Like it's about a level of acceptance. So it's almost, I'm a Christian, but I gotta hide it because I don't want somebody to think I'm weak. Well, I don't want to think I've done, because, you know, even in our salvation, we have said that we are willing to submit to the will of God. And some of us look at that submission as, oh, wait a minute, I don't submit to anybody, because I submit, that means I can't be in control of myself. And I think for some men, really, that's also a part of a level of excuse and a reason why we don't see it as a privilege, because you're letting out your vulnerabilities to say what you depended on God to pull you through. Why somebody would think that's a vulnerability, I cannot truly explain. For me, that's a blessing to know that I serve a power as awesome and as great as the God we serve that has sacrificed his own son for me, that will do anything I need, that all I have to do is call upon his name and he's right there. He never leaves. When we say that,
some young men, some older men, some just all from all ages, I believe feel like they've been lessened as a man to say that they couldn't do it on their own. So maybe that's why some of us don't share. But me, I'm privileged because I know there's things, there's miracles that have happened that there's nothing else to explain it other than the glory of God. With illness I've been through, and I could give my testimony for hours about what I've seen, what I've been through, and what God has carried me through. And I know it's a privilege to talk about that. But for some people, that's not a, they don't see it as a privilege. They look at it as a burden to go out and do. Or it's, oh, I don't have time for all that. Well, what if God said, I don't have time to save you right now? You know, that it makes it, it's, I guess you could say that's kind of blunt, but hey, sometimes we got to hear it like that. What if today you call upon God and God says, well, you know what? It's Saturday morning. I'm kind of tired. I don't feel like moving right now. So I'll get to you tomorrow. But you're on your deathbed right now. Or you're, and not necessarily your deathbed, but a situation is at its dire place where it's just like being on the deathbed and dealing with that situation. This situation could take you into a place of death. If God says, right now, I'm too tired, I don't feel like it, you would be crushed. You would turn and say, God, why? But yet we'll do that to God all the time. Oh, well, I'll wait till Sunday to pray to you. I'll wait till Sunday to talk about you. I'll wait till... I'll tell somebody else to go talk to you on Sunday. It's a privilege. You profess that he saved you. You profess that he delivered you. Why would you keep that for yourself and not share it for somebody else? Let's just say your best friend beside you doesn't know or hasn't had the opportunity to say that prayer of salvation, walks out the door, and gets hit by a car. Sorry to say, sounds rough, but it happened. And it was your mission to save them, your mission to sow that seed, to plant that seed of salvation. That person, your best friend, your brother, your little sister, your whoever, their blood is on your hands that they didn't get the opportunity to meet God because that was your call. That was the call on your life. That was the one person you were supposed to save, but you didn't feel like it was a privilege. It was a burden to talk about God right now because you had something else on your mind. What if God had something else on his mind when you needed him? Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. And, you know, I agree. You know, we have to make the things of God important and the commands of Christ important in our lives. You, any brother out there listening, you profess Christ. So you profess Christ as Lord. Now all God wants you to do is be obedient to your confession of your faith. You know what I mean? Because the confession of your faith is how you live moving forward. It's not that moment. You know, a lot of churches do it different. They do the sinner's prayer. The Baptist got to join the church, doors open, whatever. You know, whatever. Because when the Holy Ghost hits you and starts to change your life, it's going to come. It may come. I know folk have a testimony. They didn't get saved in the church with a sinner prayer. They got saved coming unto the understanding of God in their mother's bedroom, in their bedroom, in a jail cell. So I'm not going to go into that. But however, well, you confess to be a Christian. You confess Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now be obedient. Because again, I'll say this as long as once I came to knowledge of this. It's revelation that God is not looking for perfect. He's not looking for perfection. He's looking for obedience. And each of us has a purpose and a call on our lives that we have to fulfill. And we only can do that through obedience, through knowing who he is, knowing who God is, and what God is saying into our lives and speaking into our lives through the Word, through the Holy Spirit, to those around us. And that's what we have to get to. So as we speak today about encouraging and trying to nurture folk and to get to the place where evangelism becomes part of your life. It's part of who you are as a Christian. Just imagine if the 12 didn't evangelize, if the 12 stayed home, if the 12 thought it was too much, if Paul didn't go and evangelize to the Gentiles, the direction that God had gave him? What if he gave the same excuse you gave? Where would we be today? Where would the church be today if Paul, for any brother out there, and again, I know we have some sisters who listen, but for any Christian, confessed Christian, the excuse on why you don't go out and evangelize to the lost and to the stranger, what if Paul gave that same excuse? That's what we have to think about and consider. Because what was in Paul is in us. All he did was go and tell what he knew about Christ. All Peter did was tell and go about what he did, what he knew about Christ, the Gospels. They wrote the Gospels on what they lived with Christ. So we have a story to tell. We have a testimony. I know we want to make it all spooky, supernatural, and spiritual about testimonies, but that's all the Bible is. The New Testament Bible is written for people who saw, knew, touched, lived with, and was taught by Christ and believed what he said. And the Holy Spirit came to confirm it. His resurrection confirmed it. And then they were willing to die for it. So are you willing to die? Now, wait a minute. Let me start there. Let me say this. Are you willing to kill your excuses for Christ? Are you ready to crucify all your excuses when it comes to evangelism and why you don't go out and go? Are you willing to put your life on the line to go and tell someone? Because like my brother just said, there's a mission out there for us all. There's going to be a person who's not going to receive from your pastor. They are not coming to your church, okay? Let me say this. I'm be very careful now because I know some pastors get mad at me. But we need to stop inviting people to church and take that same breath and that same breath and time we take the advice of somebody to come visit your ministry, tell them about Jesus Christ and what he's done for you. Simple as that. Stop inviting people to church. Invite them to say, know Christ. This is the Christ I know. Let me tell you about him. Use that time, and that's evangelism right there. That's what I'm saying. We have to change the culture and the thinking about evangelism. You know, because and then I want to encourage those out there who are doing it. Keep going. Because, again, I know sometimes even when we go out, we go into neighborhoods and we do prayer walks and we do things, you're going to be rejected. Don't think Paul and Peter and the 12 were not rejected. But again, Jesus gives you a remedy for that. He'll keep you encouraged. I believe it. I can't find a scripture right now, but I know it's just shake the dust off their feet and you keep on moving. Because there's other souls out there. That soul didn't want to hear it from you or at that time. But you keep going because you have to know on the inside that God has called you to do this thing and God has had his purpose for you. That you're just not out there to make, you know, to say you've done it. But you're out there because there's someone that you're going to run into and God's going to touch them through you. That's what we have to change the culture of evangelism. Amen. This is Issues Christian Ministry Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Paul. Today we're talking about the culture of evangelism, being able to have a passion stirring up in us to just be obedient to God. This is nothing special. The evangelism training, you know, it's go. It's go and tell somebody about Christ. Because if you don't know Christ, well, let me say this. Let me help some other folk, because I'll let some other folk off the hook. If you don't know Christ and you don't know what he's done for you in your life, stay home. Don't tell nobody. Keep your mouth shut. Because if you can't do it, I put it this way. If you can't do mathematics, if you don't know 2 plus 2 is 4, don't teach nobody that 2 plus 2 is 6 because you're not ready. You don't got it. How about that? So if you don't know who Christ is, if Christ hasn't done nothing in your life, then keep your mouth shut. Just keep walking around in your suit and tie and your socks match your handkerchief and you got shine shoes. You just keep doing that, but keep your mouth closed. But for the rest of us, brothers, men and brothers, get to the place where we encourage those around us, our circle of influence, to go and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Elder Mark, let me ask you this. We're getting close to the time, but I do want to come back to you about now some of the things, because you're going to have, what do you call it? What's that old saying? One bad apple will spoil the whole bunch. Because now you have folk who are in the church who because they don't do it, they don't want nobody else to do it. Because I'm coming at them too. Because, you know, we got folk been in church 35 years talking about we ain't got to go. Them people, this culture, they lost, they're sinners. You know, I want to hit them in the head a little bit here tonight too, because some of them might be listening. You know, those anti-evangelistic, call again, the people in the church that don't, that we don't need to go out, we don't need to spend no money, and, you know, and we don't need to spend our time reaching the laws going out there. What do you say about that, bro? We want to shut them down quickly. What do you say?
Those are the ones that, like I mentioned earlier, you know, my prayer is to be a conduit to share the blessings. That's the one that's been blessed and wants to hold it for themselves. They don't want to share it. They're like, oh, no, I'm not going to let this go. I don't want to risk somebody else getting hold to the blessings that I have because I don't want to give up what I have. I don't want someone to walk inside the doors and interrupt. I don't want somebody to come inside the doors that doesn't have a three-piece suit on, that doesn't have the, you know, the, like we said, the handkerchief and the socks that match. I don't want to invite the people in. I don't want to go share what I've gotten with somebody else because they're not on my level. Well, let me tell you something. The one that feels like somebody isn't on your level, you might as well account yourself with the level of the enemy because you're not serving God living like that. If you think a blessing is meant for you and you alone, you've already lost. You're not blessed. You've been cursed by what you thought is truly a blessing because you're so wrapped up on holding on to it that you're not trying to share who God is. That is the blessing that you've been blessed, and now you have an opportunity to show who God is. That's why we talked about it. It's a privilege. It's not something that you said, oh, well, I got to do this. It shouldn't be about, oh, we don't, why do we have to do this? It should be, we are privileged to have a chance to do this. We are privileged to serve a God. You know how many people on this earth died by saying the name of Jesus out loud that are prosecuted and persecuted for saying the name of Christ but will do so? And then you have the audacity to sit inside the church walls and say, oh, well, no, well, this is just for us. Yeah, it's just for you, that curse you're holding on to because the enemy's using you. You've been tricked, bamboozled, hoodwinked, led astray, whatever you want to say. In the words of Malcolm X, the movie, however you want to say it, man, you messed up. Those are the people that I look at and I literally have to pity for them to think that that's the life of a Christian, that I got what I have and I'm not going to share it. If that's your life, I pray God changes your mind before it's too late because you will not hear the words, well done, my good and faithful servant, that day of judgment. You'll be the one cast away. Leave me, I never knew you, because you never did what God called. Back to you, sir.
Amen, bro. Amen. That's my favorite scripture because, you know, we talk about the God who knew everything from the beginning of time, before time, created the earth, created all of us, that he knew all things. He's omnipresent. He's sovereign. And then he's going to look at you and say he never knew you. We need to take that scripture. That scripture, break that down. Because the God who knew everything is going to tell you that he never knew you because of your disobedience. Because you walked around here and he never knew you. Never knew you. The same God who knew Satan and the demons, the same God who knew that Adam was going to fail, the same God who called Moses, who called Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and knew their future, knew exactly who they was, he's going to look at you and say, he never knew you because of your disobedience. I'm going to leave it right there, bro. I can't even imagine. I'm going to let that right there ride on and let this Holy Spirit stir it up in some folks about being evangelists, about sharing the gospel, about going out. Being obedient to the call, being obedient to the commandments of God. That's all we want to talk about today. And we talk about evangelism because there's a world, there's a lost culture, there's lost people out there, there's young people. You touched on it earlier about the importance of us as men, as mature men, speaking to the next generation of young men, of the fatherlessness, speaking to the next generation of young women who don't have strong, positive male role models in their life to speak into their lives. You know, and that's important, too. To have a strong male role model in a young female's life is also important. So what are we doing there when we speak it into young men's lives? Because they are the future. They're the future husbands, fathers, wives, and mothers. Well, we speak it into their life, to a generation. that they might have the vision of God, that the spiritual bloodline will continue. Remember, Jesus is, let me think, I got to do this again. Jesus' great-great-grandmother was a harlot. Okay? Well, no, I think a couple more great-greats back. Talking about, what's the girl's name? At Jericho, the prostitute. You know, so we don't know. Right, you're there. Thank you, sir. That's what we don't know. We don't know. Until Christ come, we don't know who we're going to share the gospel with and speak to, whose bloodline they're going to be connected with. And yet for some of us out there, brothers, let me say this to you. You came to faith. Your mother wasn't saved. Your grandmother wasn't saved. Your grandmother ran bootleg. Your grandmother sold liquor on Sunday. Your grandmother, she wasn't no praying grandmother. I know everybody likes to say they got a praying grandmother when they come to church, but some of y'all, there were some sinners out there in the 1930s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, and some of those sinners were your grandparents, okay? So some of us, I say that to say that some of us are the Abrahams. Some of us are first-generation Christians, I used to call it. Back when we first got saved, you know, first-generation Christians, we struggle because we're trying to get rid of a lot of baggage and we're still trying to mentor our children. But, you know, this is the thing. What we call to do is evangelism. We just have to be examples. We have to live right. We have to live lives that are sacrificial, knowing who we are as ambassadors and knowing that it's a privilege to be able to share and tell someone about Christ and just change the mindset of those around us and then change our own mindset first because, again, we have to know who we are in Christ to be able to tell somebody else. Because if you don't know who you are in Christ, you don't know what Christ has done for you, you don't see God's miracle working power in your life, that you're a new creation, you're a new creature, the old things that you've done, your sins, you know your sins are forgiven, so now you're not ashamed of your sins. You know, if our marriages are healed. You know, you used to be a womanizer, an adulterer, a fornicator. Well, let me just say this. You cheated on your wife. You slept with every woman you saw. You had lust for every woman you saw. You drank, done drugs, hanging out in clubs. All that is passed away, and you come to Christ. And you're a new creature now. Those things are forgiven. You don't do those things. You don't have the cravings, the urges. You've been delivered. So you should be able to tell somebody about that. And if you have a problem with honesty, transparency, or your pride keeps you from it, continue to pray and continue to grow. Because someone out there right now who's womanizing, who's chasing women, they need to hear the gospel from you and know that they don't have to do that anymore and that the issues with it, the moral issues, have come into Christ. Because these things, you reap what you sow. And so I could tell you now, brothers who know that there's struggle having a bunch of kids by a bunch of women. And we know because the government's coming with child support, so now you're working and you're not getting all your money because of your choices. I'll leave that right there. That's all another show. Amen. Well, Elder Mark, again, brother, I thank you for joining me. I thank you for joining, taking time out your schedule and being part of the show. I'm going to give you the last couple of minutes as you can your closing comments, and then you can close us out in prayer. And, bro, I appreciate you, man, and continue. I pray a continued blessing over you and your family, your wife, kids, and your ministry.
Amen, and I appreciate the opportunity to share with you, brother, as always. And to the listeners, I just pray that as we speak, as we talk on this each Saturday, we're joined together, that you take the time that you're listening out, that you realize that we're not talking to you to condemn you or to say we're in a greater place or we're in a better place. This also is an opportunity to evangelize and just share about what we should understand and what we're learning and what we're growing in. So as you join with us in our walk so that we can all grow together. That's a part of what Deacon Farr mentioned, our Man Up Coalition, that we truly uplift, that we are truly our brother's keeper. So we just pray that what we're talking about, our discussion topics, will continue to be a blessing. If you're interested, I'm sure you can go onto the web, reach on Facebook to Issues Christian Men Talk. Shoot out some ideas that you might want us to talk about, some things that you would want to hear, and that will allow us to continue to be a blessing, as that is truly a desire, that as we're blessed, we'll be a blessing. And just to close out in prayer, Father God, we honor you and thank you for another opportunity to share your word, to share your way, to share a lifestyle, Lord God, that exudes you, Lord God, that shows the very fruit of the Spirit as we walk this earthly walk. We thank you, Lord God, for all that you have, all that you do, and all that you are. Continue to use us, Father God. Continue to use us
and allow us to see you in everything, no matter what the situation, no matter where our place, Lord God. We know that you are with us, beside us, encouraging us, Lord God, and uplifting us. We give you honor and praise this day and every day, and praise in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, brother. Thank you. God bless. And we'll be live, and we are going to be live on Monday at 8 p.m., Thursday at 8 p.m., and next Saturday at 9 a.m. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend.
God bless.
I don't know, but I will find a way to lift up my hand, and I will find a way to worship you, Lord. Though my heart is low, I'll find a way to give you praise. I will find a way to love you. I've lost so much.